All right, welcome to your post-All-Star Game podcast. Wednesday, July 16th. Adam Azer here with Al Melchior. Scott White is going to be joining us pretty soon, isn't he, Al?
I'm sure he will be.
How's your All-Star break going?
It was great.
We haven't been in this room podcasting since Friday.
Should be using present tense. It's still the break.
Yeah, it still is the break.
We're still putting our feet up on the desks.
Relax.
Chilling out.
So the All-Star game, my cable was out last night, so I barely watched, unfortunately. Any thoughts?
Well, and it starts a little late, so I barely watched too.
Oh,
saw
okay,
first
great.
couple of innings.
Mike Trout's good.
Mike Trout is good, yeah. Derek Jeter.
Yeah,
reborn.
Michael Jeter. See that stuff?
No.
Yeah, I'll tell you about it later. It's a Twitter thing. So Derek Jeter got two hits. If you think Adam Wainwright grooved that pitch in there, he basically threw the same exact pitch to Mike Trout immediately after. So I'm not saying he didn't, but I'm not saying he did. And I guess Glenn Perkins got the save, which was pretty cool, throwing to Kurt Suzuki. So that was in Minnesota. Good moments. Alexi Ramirez stole a base. Miguel Cabrera homered. Andrew McCutchen stole a base. I do want to talk about him. Adam Wainwright stunk. Just looking at the box score here. Whatever. Who cares?
Yeah, it's pretty much typical All-Star game.
I hear it was a good, fun game. I wish I had gotten to see more, but my cable was out. I only saw like an inning or two, and then I fell asleep. So let's talk about fantasy baseball, Al. Who are some absolute must-own players going forward? And we'll talk about the most added, most dropped list in a bit.
All right. Well, and I assume you're talking about not the usual suspects.
Yes, correct.
Yeah. And I guess probably typical for me because I do write the weekly pitching column, so I'm very pitching-focused. The ones that I could think of were mostly pitchers. And in fact, the three that came top of mind were three of the five that I included in my most recent column on pitchers to target in the second half. And there's also five to avoid or sell high on. But Trevor Bauer, Danny Salazar, Jake Odorizzi, for me, are really new to, I should include Salazar because I've been holding them all season long. But Bauer and Odorizzi are, I would say, are relatively new to me in the must own status. Because there's just, even though both have had their inconsistencies and their overall numbers aren't that great, there's so much upside with both of them. And I can't remember, it might have been actually here on the podcast before the break, and I made just a quick comparison between Odorizzi and Max Scherzer a few years back.
Right, that, yeah. No, that was on the Fantasy Baseball Today video show, which returns tomorrow, by the way.
I just provided you with that segue opportunity.
Yeah, thank you.
That
I
was
forgot.
totally planned. Yeah, so, well, you know, kind of, you know, realizing that Odorizzi, you know, has that potential, that he's a guy who just, you know, is an elite strikeout guy already, but has some control issues and fly ball tendencies, which Scherzer still has, by the way. Not the control issues, but the fly ball tendencies. And Odorizzi, actually, because of where he pitches his home games, is better positioned than Scherzer to overcome those.
Well, that's the thing about Odorizzi is he's got an ERA over 6 on the road, and 6 of his last 8 starts have come at home. And that's obviously coincided with his ERA dropping from 5.31 to 4.01, and he's pitching very well. I know he's striking a lot of guys out. But still, you look at those two road starts in this 8-game stretch, 5 innings, 6 hits, 1 run, 4 walks, 6 strikeouts at Baltimore. It's only 5 innings, not that good. And then 5 2/3, 8 hits, 3 runs, 2 home runs, 1 walk, 4 strikeouts at the Yankees. So are the home road inconsistencies still there?
They're definitely still there. And like you said, we haven't had that much of an opportunity to see it because it's been home balanced lately. If I recall, I'm pretty sure I've got this right. I think Odorizzi has a pretty favorable schedule in the second half. So, you know, if you have any qualms about using him or even just picking him up, that's definitely something to consider. I think he pitches, the Rays play their first 17 games. I should look this up and confirm it, but this is just coming from
memory. I've got a big computer in front of me. I'd be happy to.
It's not that big.
Yeah, it really isn't that big.
Yeah, but it works. So, yeah, I think he comes right out of the gate with the Rays playing a lot of games in favorable venues. And over the course of the last 2.5 months, there's a lot of games where Odorizzi should be safe. But I just have hopes that he'll also just take a step forward and improve his control and, you know, maybe not give up so many home runs on the road.
All right,
and
so you had those three. It's Salazar, Odorizzi.
Those three. I'm sorry, but I have one other quick note about Odorizzi, too, because he has given up an insane number of ground ball base hits for a guy who's a fly ball pitcher. So that's something that should just correct itself. So even if he does nothing to improve going forward, skill-wise, he should be a better pitcher going forward.
I start with five road games after the break, at Minnesota for three, at St. Louis for two, and then they've got a nine-game homestand.
Yep.
So there you go.
That is what I am talking about. Now, there are a few hitters I want to mention in terms of absolute must-own. I mean, that's a strong term to use.
Yeah.
But I think I'd throw Locust Duda.
Locust. It's a sin if you don't know Locust Duda.
Or his brother Lucas. I'm pretty much at the point where I think he's a must-own.
All right. Okay.
And I hedge a little bit on this because I don't really think they're must-own in standard points leagues with the smaller rosters. But Arizmendi Alcantara, I think, is a must-own in Roto. And I am finally coming around to seeing Brock Holt in the same light.
Okay. Yeah, how come?
Actually wrote a piece of analysis the other day. I outlined three things. Hopefully I can remember all three. One is that he's got, I think it's 14 infield hits so far. And remember, he hasn't been up all season, so that's in a not a full half season's worth of at-bats. That's a good rate. I mean, if you're talking about somebody who's on pace to get 30-plus, 40-plus infield hits over a full season, that's good. And Holt is hitting close to, I think, 300 on ground balls. But if you're getting infield hits at that rate, that's a sustainable batting average.
Okay.
Secondly, he's striking out quite a bit more now than he has as a minor leaguer, so there is batting average upside if he can strike out less, and he's shown the potential to do that in the minor leagues. Now, I can just remember what the third thing is, but those two things were down. Oh, and the third thing is Fenway Park, that he can, you know, get a lot of doubles there.
Sure.
So
many people do.
Yeah, so all three things to him point to maintaining the batting average that he's got. If, you know, probably not improving it, but at least maintaining it, and that's all you really need him to do. He'll help you with batting average and runs scored.
We're gonna read some emails later on. fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. You can check out Al's blogs at fantasynews.cbsports.com, but now it defaults to fantasy football, so you just gotta click on the little fantasy baseball tab. No big deal. And, of course, our video show Thursday and Friday to help you set your lineup. Tomorrow we'll do some of that. I changed two of our leagues to a 10-day week. I recommend, if you have the commissioner access in the CBSSports.com league, to do a 10-day week instead of a 3-day week. Or I should say a 10-day scoring period instead of a 3-day scoring period. You on board with that?
Yeah, I am. Yeah, the 3-day week is funky and you know, especially in head-to-head leagues, that's
totally
kind of a bummer.
Right, in Roto, I guess it doesn't really make too much of a difference.
Nah, I don't think so. I don't mind it in Roto at all, actually. And it's funny because in one of my Roto leagues, there was a little bit of controversy over whether to do the weekly fab on Sunday or on Thursday, and we're doing it on Thursday. And there was at least a vocal minority that liked doing it on Sunday.
Why?
I guess just
do it on Thursday. Give people some time. Give people a break. Give you 3 days to look at the waiver wire, decide who you want.
Yeah, maybe probably people just itchy to get a certain player that they're afraid will be a less kept secret maybe over the break. But the thing with the 10-day scoring period is that it's the great equalizer for pitching because pretty much everybody's going to be a two-star pitcher.
Yes. And when we said you know, you don't have to do it for Roto. That's like a standard Roto league, not a head-to-head categories league. Any head-to-head format where you're facing an opponent, I think you should do a 10-day week. Let's get to the email of the day. And it comes... Oh, damn it. I'll look it up. This is a good email, and you deserve to have your name read aloud. So, the email of the day, Al. This one on our paper. It is from...
You're keeping
Brett.
Keeping me in suspense here.
It's from Brett. And he says, I agree with most of your all-star selections. The one I actually disagree with is Lonnie Chisenhall. Chisenhall had one big game of 3 home runs and 9 RBI, but if you take that out of the equation, his numbers are slightly worse than Connor Gillespie's. The stat lines are very similar. So then he get copied and pasted stat lines, but I wasn't able to put them on the page, so I had to do it myself. All right, so here you go. Lonnie Chisenhall versus Connor Gillespie. Chisenhall's owned in 90% of leagues, and Gillespie's owned in 34% of leagues. They have basically the same amount of bats, at-bats, 262 at-bats for Chisenhall, 258 for Gillespie. I don't know how many bats they have. Probably about the same, I would think.
At-bats?
No, just bats,
oh, bats.
In general.
Yeah.
So that's what I said first. Here's the here are the splits, the stat lines. 328 batting average for Chisenhall, 326 for Gillespie. 9 home runs for Chisenhall, 4 for Gillespie. 41 RBI for Chisenhall, 35 for Gillespie. Chisenhall has scored 3 more runs, stolen 2 more bases, 1 more walk, 4 more strikeouts. Gillespie has 3 more doubles and 2 more triples. So very similar here.
Mm-hmm.
Chisenhall is 28 fantasy points better than Connor Gillespie. 28 fantasy points better. And as pointed out by Brett, he had that one big game. He scored 26 points in one game. So you do take away that 3-homer game at Texas, and he's 2 points better than Connor Gillespie. And that's pretty interesting. And even more interesting, Al, over the last 28 days, Connor Gillespie is the number 6 third baseman in points leagues and number 8 in Roto. And Lonnie Chisenhall is number 25 in points and number 36 in Roto. So I put Chisenhall on the All-Star team, you know, because it was about him not being drafted and, you know, being really good. But this is eye-opening, I think. Do you have any thoughts on this?
Couple. And one is that I've sort of suspected that Chisenhall was over-owned and overrated. But maybe I've underrated Connor Gillespie.
Yeah.
Because I don't think Chisenhall is worth owning in 90% of leagues, but there is, you know, some power potential there. I don't really buy him having similar power to Gillespie, even though, you know, a big chunk of it came in one game. But I mean, it's great analysis, and they're certainly closer than I would have thought.
What do you think about that, Scott White?
About Chisenhall versus Gillespie?
If you take away that one game from Lonnie Chisenhall, 3 home runs, 9 RBI at Texas, he's got basically the same exact season as Connor Gillespie.
I don't know that you could take it away, though.
No, you can't.
because it says something about Chisenhall's power potential.
But he hasn't been that much better than Gillespie to begin with.
Yeah.
In basically the same amount of at-bats.
I like Chisenhall more.
Well, you do, but is it, you know, like Gillespie you have ranked 34th, and Chisenhall you have 17th. So, and Al, Gillespie you have, well, Chisenhall you have 22nd, and Gillespie you have 37th. So you both have a very big gap between the two.
It should shrink.
What do you think? What do you think, Scotty?
I really just see Gillespie as an AL-only type. And don't know, I don't buy, you take the full extent of each player's productions, I don't buy Gillespie's as much as Chisenhall's, and I don't think the White Sox are as committed to Gillespie as the Indians are Chisenhall.
How are you, Scott?
I'm good, how are you?
How's your All-Star break? Did you watch the game yesterday? One of us had to have watched the game.
I did. I had it on.
Let's see how much, because we watched, it's not a lot.
I had it on the whole time. I kind of lost... I'm car shopping right now, so I kind of got caught up in that with the iPad in front of the TV for the last 2 or 3 innings, probably.
This is fun,
and
car shopping.
It's suddenly, no, it's not fun.
It can't
it's
be fun.
It's not fun. It's not. You can do it for me if you want.
No, I don't think
it's one of my least favorite things ever.
I would rather be doing it on the iPad than be at a car dealership at like 10 o'clock at night. I have to
admit
that.
But when you come home with your new car, it's a really cool feeling.
No, it's not.
What are you talking about?
Well,
you
I don't
new
buy
car.
New, first of all. I buy used.
That's fine.
That's
when you
stressful.
Come home with a car.
They can still spray it with the new car smell stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, Scott, I'm very excited for you.
Oh, thank you.
Hope you get a station wagon. Injuries, news, and notes. I found this Miguel Cabrera stuff to be very interesting. He said that both he and Justin Verlander are not 100% because of injuries. And it goes back to last year for Cabrera with that groin injury and this spring training for Verlander with the core muscle injury. So you look at Cabrera. He's batting 306 with 14 home runs and 75 RBI. Cabrera hit over 330 each of the last 2 years with 44 home runs and nearly 140 RBI. So he's way behind the home run pace. 44 each of the last 2 years and only 14 this year. Now, Cabrera still is the number one third baseman in points leagues, number two in Roto behind Todd Frazier. But he is the number four first baseman in points leagues and number six in Roto. Whereas Mike Trout is the number two outfielder in points leagues, number one in Roto. And I'm just saying, Trout really has delivered that number one overall pick value. Cabrera has been great, but he hasn't been, I think, as good as people wanted.
But he got off to such a slow start, I think, if you look at, maybe you take out April. And yeah, I know, like we were talking about with Chisholm Hall, everything counts.
But he's kind of slumping again. I mean, slumping for him.
Yeah. But, you know, I think if you look at it as a trend and say, okay, you know, since May 1, if he has these, you know, stats, whatever they are, and you can have faith that he carries that forward.
Since May 1 it for you?
I would really like that.
Since May 2nd, because he didn't play on May 1st. Miguel Cabrera is batting 317, 12 home runs in 67 games, and 60 RBI with a 578 slugging. Yeah, it's pretty good. Very, very good.
Very good.
Are you disappointed? Do you still view him as the clear-cut second-best player in fantasy?
Especially after what you just told me? Yeah.
Let's take a look at what he's doing in July. Batting 243 so far in July. He has been a little bit cold. And then, you know, the other part of that is, who's ranking ahead of Mike Trout at outfield in points leagues? And that's Andrew McCutchen. And McCutchen, 27 years old, batting 324, 17 home runs, which is, you know, big for him right now. 61 RBI, 57 runs scored, 15 steals and 15 attempts. Trout's only stolen 10 bases this year. Does Andrew McCutchen belong in the discussion
there
with Trout and Cabrera?
You remember, I think it was like late April, early May, and we were like, or actually you were like, where has McCutchen's power gone?
Well, look, I bring things up because I need to bring them up. It doesn't mean I'm worried about Andrew McCutchen.
Yeah.
It just, the question needs to be asked because fantasy
somebody,
owners want to know.
Somebody at home's asking it.
No, I'm serious. I was down on Andrew McCutchen.
I get you. I don't really think he belongs in, like, best player in fantasy discussion. And it's a fine line because he was, what, a top five pick coming into the year?
Yeah.
So you could argue he's been in the discussion all along. But if you're – I still think there's a clear distinction between him and Trout. And McCutchen happened to finish ahead of Trout, but it was like – because he had this extended hot streak, his best stretch of the season right before the All-Star break, and that he's going to fall off enough that he'll drop behind Trout by a fair number of points, even if, you know, he'll still be... I have him the second-ranked outfielder, so again, it's talking a fine line.
Yeah, I'm getting specific here. Fine, I'll say this. Next year, five outfielder Roto League, Miguel Cabrera no longer eligible at third base. I could definitely see myself taking Andrew McCutchen ahead of Miguel Cabrera. How about you?
As of right now, no. And actually, unless McCutchen just goes on a crazy power tear the rest of the season without losing much batting average, I'm not doing that because what he's doing this year in terms of power is pretty out of step with what he's done before. He's had good enough power to, you know, be our number two outfielder.
But even if he hits 25 home runs, you know, each season or around there, because he was, what, like 31 and 21?
I feel like that still puts him behind Trout.
Oh, it puts him behind Trout, for sure.
Right.
But what about Cabrera? Because you're going to get steals from McCutchen. You're going to get batting average just like Cabrera. You're going to get less injury risk. You're going to get a younger player in his prime. You're going to get a guy who's an outfielder in a five-outfielder league, and Cabrera is no longer third base eligible next year.
Yeah, he's still – yeah, obviously Cabrera loses some value. Look, if Cabrera has a bad second half – and McCutchen doesn't fall off much, then yeah, I probably would slide McCutchen ahead. I don't expect either of those things to happen.
Scott?
I think that's a good way of putting it. Because, honestly, the groin thing for Miguel Cabrera, I mean, part of it's like, well, it's if it's not fully healed now, it's going to be then. And if he's doing this well now, what's that mean for him then? Plus, he's not exactly old. He's been around forever, but he's not. I don't think he's to the point where you could say he's regressing. So I agree with what Al said there, yeah.
All righty. Bartolo Colon is reportedly on the trading block. Seattle has shown interest in Billy Butler, according to ESPN. Seattle's looking for a right-handed bat. Evan Gattis could begin a rehab assignment today. Aroldis Chapman hurt his hamstring during the game last night, but he expects to be fine for Friday. Cliff Lee set to rejoin the Phillies rotation soon, but he was hit hard in his last rehab start. Where have you guys ranked Clifford Lee?
I've got him in the 7-8 vicinity.
And that's higher than me. I have him 17th. But I'll add that I think Al was more aggressive when Cole Hamels came off the DL2, and I was a little more cautious. 17th, acknowledging he has the potential to be an ace, but because he's coming back from an elbow injury, a strain, not a sprain, so muscle as opposed to ligament, so theoretically Tommy John surgery should be completely removed from this discussion, theoretically.
Josh Reddick began a rehab assignment, and I believe that would be significant for Stephen Vogt. What do you guys think?
I don't know about significant, impactful, for sure. But the way that Vogt is hit and the way that Melvin deals with his lineup, I think he'll continue to find pretty regular bats until he slumps.
Two guys who are middle infield and outfield eligible are in the process of their rehab assignments now. They both started rehab assignments. Danny Santana, 35% owned. Emilio Bonifacio, 42% owned. Who would you rather own?
I think I'd rather own Santana, and it's because the way things have developed for the Cubs, I don't trust Bonifacio's playing time as much. Alcantara's up now. Chris Coughlin has gotten insanely hot. Justin yeah. Ruggiano's done some good things. So I do think Bonifacio will probably end up playing more often than not, but I don't know that he's going to be a for sure everyday player.
Danny Santana or Alcantara?
Alcantara, I get that. Have gotten that question a lot during the break.
Alcantara for you?
Yeah.
And not by a lot, though.
Danny Santana or Xander Bogaerts?
I will go Xander Bogaerts.
I'll go. Alcantara or Santana.
Santana.
My gut's saying Bogaerts. I know I've got them ranked very close to each other, but I'm pretty sure I've got Bogaerts one or two spots ahead.
Let's see.
I dropped.
You have one spot ahead. Good for you. Good for you. So that means you would rather have Arizmendi Alcantara than Xander Bogaerts. And Scott, you also do?
No. I have a lot of confidence.
Oh,
in
no.
Bogaerts.
You have Bogaerts.
I probably
a lot
have
higher
up
than I
a
thought.
Lot higher. Yeah.
Yeah. I was
than
looking
you were expecting
down
to see.
Well, you have Bogaerts in your top 12 in Roto.
I just can't get excited about the Johnny Peralta.
All right, you hear the guys you have behind him. Jed Lowry, Eric Ibar, Johnny Peralta, J.J. Hardy, Escobar, Alcantara behind Bogaerts.
There's no way Bogaerts is this bad. There's just no way.
Okay, and Ubaldo Jimenez is on the DL with an ankle injury. He could be back soon. And true or false, Kevin Gausman is in the rotation to stay. I thought I read that somewhere or heard that somewhere.
Well, I mean, with Jimenez on the DL, there's the opening we've been waiting for, but we don't know. I mean, yeah. I don't expect it to be a long stay on the DL, so it's hard for me to commit to for good.
I heard that during the broadcast on Sunday night.
I mean, that would obviously be great news. I hadn't heard or read that, so I'm kind of where Scott's at, that I'm a little suspicious that the Orioles will commit to Gausman.
Okay. All right, I'll see if I
can... He's certainly worth stashing or, you know, owning and then stashing if he gets demoted.
Here's a headline from the Camden Chat, whatever that is. Orioles option Kevin Gausman because they hate him.
I remember seeing that. I think that's...
Because they hate him and us. That was from...
Is that SB Nation?
July 7th. It looks like SB Nation.
If it's not, then I just gave SB Nation a free plug.
I can't tell. It has the same...
Free plugs!
Same look, but I don't know. Yeah, it is SB Nation.
Yeah.
Hooray! Most added and most dropped players in CBSSports.com leagues. Tomorrow on the show, we're going to talk about... second half predictions and guys that... Al, you've written a lot about guys that you've kind of changed your outlook on as you've had some time to dig a little bit deeper. Scott, I'm not sure if you've got any of that going on as well. But you're more than welcome to bring it to the table tomorrow. Oh, you're not here tomorrow. It's a Herc day. All right, well, you can do it Friday because there are no games on Thursday.
Okay.
So that's fine. We'll have a little bit more fun with tomorrow's show. Let's get into the ads and drops. Of course, I printed out the most activated list instead of the most added list, so not sure that helps anyone unless you want to talk about Carlos Gonzalez. Oops. Oh, by the way, with Carlos Gonzalez, you know, he said that the time off helped his knee. Or maybe his manager said that, but somebody on the Rockies said the time off helped his knee, so that is a good thing to see. Here are your most added and most dropped players. I will read them to you. Number one, Arismendi Alcantara, 62% owned. Let's stop right there because he had a great weekend. And I know I dropped Brad Miller for him in a one shortstop points league. Good waiver wire options. If he was available in any of my Roto leagues, I would have added him. It's exciting right now. What do you guys have to say about Arismendi Alcantara?
You know, I just I will chime in with what Scott said earlier, that you know, he's up now and probably up for good. So, you know, guys like Bonifacio, I don't trust their playing time versus him. Darwin Barney, and even, you know, Ruggiano, who's, you know, been pretty good. And just want to drop I've had some fun with Baseball Heat Maps, their website, during a couple days of the break. It's a little time I don't normally have.
Man, that is when it gets, like, too like data-y for me.
Oh man,
when I started looking at heat maps, it's getting like, oh man, really?
Yeah, but it's actually what I was looking at. Were the heat maps? They have average fly ball distance by year.
But that's cool.
And Ruggiano, 2 years ago when he had that great, I think it was second half with the Marlins, yeah, after they got rid of everybody and he played all the time, he was one of the major league leaders in fly ball distance.
Interesting.
So if he does stick around playing half of his games in Wrigley Field, there's a name, but my point is about Alcantara that I actually think he'll get regular playing time, bouncing around between second and various outfield positions.
On the subject of how good he could be, I have moved him up, but as you just mentioned, going through my shortstop rankings, he's still behind that group I don't get that excited about. So I think he's only a must add in leagues that require a middle infield spot, and the reason I think that is because, as hot as he's been, as encouraging as it is, he has major plate discipline issues that I think will catch up to him sooner or later. Now, he has good power-speed combo that's hard to find at shortstop, so if you're in a shallow league and you have one of those unexciting options there, even though I rank him behind him, it doesn't hurt to pick him up and just see where this goes. I think that's an advisable approach, but I'm not confident he's going to be like a top 12 shortstop from this point forward, even though he has that kind of potential.
All right, that's Alcantara. Steven Vogt, number two. Shane Green, number three. So you guys want to know what happened in our podcast categories league?
I think I've already heard about it.
Oh, you heard this story?
Yeah. I have heard a partial version. So
should we wait tomorrow
Adam,
for Herc? Or
Adam's side of the story. Well,
I think this has got some better potential of Herc.
I'll let Herc defend himself tomorrow. But
okay.
Good. Yeah.
Me, Nando, and her. Nando, Herc, and I co-own a team, obviously, in our 14-team podcast categories league.
It exists.
The Rejects League. Hello, Rejects. So
he's actually wearing a hoodie right now. It says Rejects League on it. So he thinks about you guys, even though he doesn't talk about it.
Especially
you.
When it's
Ever.
Cold in the room.
Yeah.
I had to put a sweatshirt on. So I sent an email. I said, guys, let's pick up Shane Green. Let's put a dollar on him. Because I like what I see from him in deep league, not much out there. And Tanaka went on the DL. So we had a free roster spot. So I said, let's pick up Shane Green for a dollar. And they were like, I don't know. Nando gave me his career stats and how in the minors and how bad he's been. Herc's like, we got to save our money. I'm like, Herc, we've got like 4 weeks left in the regular season and over $30 to spend. What are we saving our money for? We have to make the playoffs. This guy's pitching well. So, you know, I'm like yelling via email. I'm like getting really pissed.
We have 4 weeks till the playoffs in that league?
They start in week 20 and we have a 10-day week coming up. So we have week 16.
Oh, because you shortened. You divided it into
17,
two,
18,
one.
And 19, yeah.
You could combine them into one.
Yeah, so we're losing a week.
By the way, I think somebody, we need to task somebody with taking what you just said, clipping it, and doing a mashup with you and Jim Mora. The way you just,
yeah, no, but seriously.
The way you just said
like, what are you waiting for at this point? We don't have We don't have 9 weeks left. We have four to make the playoffs. We're like right on the cusp. So whatever. I said let's pick up Shane Green. So then Herc's like, I'm putting in a $5 bid for Chris Coughlin, which I got rid of because he was doing that just to be a jerk. And then I wake up the next morning. I check out the transaction report. We got Chase Whitley for $0 instead of Shane Green for $1. And I'm like, what? Did I bid? Did I put the wrong Yankees pitcher in and not realize it? And I thought, no, definitely not, because I knew I put a dollar on it instead of zero. Like, I knew that they were just messing with me. So I kicked them both out of the league.
Okay. So you knew it was a joke, because when Herc told this to me, I was like, well, maybe he didn't know it was a joke, and he thought you were going rogue.
It pissed me off, though. Like, it, we're it, trying it to seem, win here.
It
pay
does
attention.
Seem not very funny and more annoying.
It was annoying. And if somebody
else had picked
up... I don't
know that I would go to the extreme of kicking them out, but...
If someone else had picked up Shane Green before I got a chance to undo it, because I did. I mean, I picked up Shane Green, and I dropped Chase Whitley a day after. But if someone else had picked him up, I would have been really angry about it.
Yeah,
it's like, let's take
but you
it
got him, so you know everybody has a good laugh.
I told her he can apply for reinstatement if
but
he wants.
Why do you get the ability to like override them and pick up Green even if neither of them want them?
Because what? They were being irrational. Nando hasn't paid attention to this league in 3 weeks, and Herc wants to save our money for nothing, and I wasn't even dropping anyone for it. I was putting a $1 bid on a free roster spot. Who cares? Like, why would they get mad about
that? Oh,
we're
going to have a beautiful podcast tomorrow.
And now that he's the third most added player in fantasy, I feel vindicated.
Maybe that's just from all the times you tried to pick him up and Herc undid it.
Yeah. It would be even higher. Oh, you mean because I kept putting in bids. Edinson Volquez is number four. Who would you rather own, Shane Green or Edinson Volquez?
See, I'd rather have Edinson Volquez. So if we co-owned a team, I'd be undoing
that's
your
fine. I would,
your Shane
I would
Green
be picking. Fine with that.
Picking up Volquez.
And Jacob DeGrom is number six. Who would you rather own, Volquez or DeGrom?
I'd rather own DeGrom.
And they're only in the same amount of leagues.
Yeah.
Now, I do think there's an interesting comparison here between Green and DeGrom. DeGrom was decent at AAA before his call-up, and Green wasn't. But you compare their minor league careers as a whole, DeGrom's is pretty uninspiring, kind of like Green's. But he came up, the stuff is apparent, and he's had good success with it.
Yeah, he really is a good-looking pitcher just from the naked eye.
Green is kind of the same way,
now,
right?
Is it just because the hair?
Well, DeGreen's a sinker baller with it looks like a good slider, but he throws like 95.
I know, that's what
and
I'm saying.
It, and yeah, it is. I mean, compared to like a Chase Whitley, it's not even close. He looks like a much more legit pitcher.
Now, after two big league starts, I'm going to default to the minor league numbers. I think that's the
sure
reasonable thing to do. That they say a lot more to me at this point. So I point those out and say, yeah, he's probably not worth your time. But it's just a guessing game. And if there are some signs there that maybe he could be better than his minor league numbers show, I'm open to that possibility. I'm not acting on it, but I do think he's worth watching. And maybe in a deeper league like this one that you're talking about, when there's nobody out there and you have a free roster spot, maybe it is worth a flyer.
Colton Wong is number five in between Volquez and DeGrom. Wong or Alcantara now, I'll ask. I know I've asked it like 1,000 times, but it's been a week, so middle infield spot. Who are you going with?
That's Alcantara, and it's worth reasking now that Wong has gone on a little power binge since then.
Playing great. We have Odrisimer Despaigne, number seven, behind DeGrom. We have Jimmy Nelson, number eight. Chris Coughlin, nine. Kevin Kiermaier, 10. Chris Carter, who had another two-homer game recently, number 11. Connor Gillespie, number 12. So let's stop there. We got a lot of pitchers. Green, Volquez, DeGrom, Despaigne, Jimmy Nelson. Who's your top two in that group?
Nelson for sure. That's tough after that. Yeah, I guess I'd take the flyer in DeGrom over Volquez.
Yep, those are my top two also.
We didn't talk about Jimmy Nelson having a terrible start on Saturday at St. Louis. I believe it was a road game. And, yeah, I mean, I watched a few innings of it. He was kind of all over the place. I don't know what you guys thought about that. It was actually a home game against St. Louis. But his first start was on May 25th, his only other start this year. 5 2/3, 5 hits, no runs, no earned runs. 3 walks and 6 Ks. This start was 4 1/3, 8 hits, 6 earned runs, 2 walks, 5 Ks.
Yeah.
And he had a good start last year, too. I don't make much of it, to be perfectly honest. I'm an inexperienced pitcher like him. I would expect one out of every three starts to be bad for a while.
Yep. Would you rather have Jimmy Nelson or A.J. Burnett?
I'd rather have Jimmy Nelson.
I think I'd rather have Burnett, unless it was a situation where you needed a relief pitcher, eligible pitcher.
Would you rather have Jimmy Nelson or... Oh, I had a good one. Jake Odorizzi.
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 More or most added. Wade Miley is 13th. Wade Miley or Jimmy Nelson?
Jimmy Nelson.
Yeah, Nelson.
Travis d'Arnaud, 14. Joe Smith, 15. Do you think Joe Smith is going to stay the Angels closer? He keeps locking it down.
I'm starting to have some hope now, and part of that's because the OC Register posted something in the days before the All-Star break saying Mike Socha seems to be changing his tune on Joe Smith, and for whatever reason, he seems to trust Jason Grilli in the 7th or 8th inning role more than he trusted Ernesto Frieri in the 7th or 8th inning role, so he doesn't feel like he needs to reserve Smith for that anymore.
Okay.
But at the same time, these rumors about Houston Street to the Angels persist. So until the trade deadline, I don't think we know for sure. But I think before I thought there was no hope Smith keeps it. Now I think there is some hope. And if he does, since that trade, he's allowed one base runner.
Oh, yeah.
He's really good.
Been amazing. Yeah. Joe Smith or Santiago Casilla?
Yeah, I'm still going Smith.
I have Casilla one spot ahead. But it's only because of those street rumors.
All right, we've heard about DeGrom. We've heard about Jimmy Nelson, Jake Odorizzi on today's show. How about Clay Buchholz and his complete game, what was it, complete game three-hit shutout with 12 strikeouts over the weekend? Just a brilliant start. No walks at Houston. How about that? 70% owned.
Yeah, I'm going to go in the Wayback Machine and call that an Astros matchup. Deluxe. I know it's not as what it was before. They still strike out a lot. They're just, you know, more powerful lineup than they were. But look, I think Buchholz has upside, but I don't expect to see all of it right now. So I think that there'll be some inconsistencies ahead.
Buchholz and Odorizzi are owned in the same amount of leagues. Who do you prefer?
Odorizzi.
I do too.
Jimmy Nelson or Buchholz?
Nelson.
Yep.
All right, don't give up on Jimmy Nelson. Most dropped, Yadier Molina. Yeah, it makes sense if you need the roster spot. It's kind of a shame. But Brandon Phillips, 2. Marco Estrada, 3. Any chance he gets back in the rotation, or is it going to require Nelson plummeting?
I mean, I think there's a very, very outside chance, and I don't expect it because I think he's better than this, that maybe Willie Peralta, if he struggled. I need to take a look at Peralta's inning situation, too.
There's always the injury possibility.
Yeah. All that said, I'm not expecting Estrada back in the rotation.
What about Vance Worley? What is his status now that Liriano is back? He's on the most drop list.
He's in the rotation, but when Cole comes back, I expect that he will go to the bullpen.
Gotcha. And Compton is out of the rotation, right?
Correct.
AJ Brzezinski, Adam Lynn, Ronis Elias, Tom Kohler, Jason Vargas, Drew Pomeranz on the most drop list. Actually, now might be the time to get Drew Pomeranz.
The unfortunate part about that is you can't stash him in a DL spot anymore.
That's true.
I know with Sunday, when I put in my most recent waiver claims, I had some free DL spots. I prioritized Pomeranz over Paxton, and now I regret that because... Like, right after that, they optioned Pomeranz, took him off the DL and optioned him. And he had a great start at I think it was AAA. It was technically a rehab start at the time. Looked great. So I'm hopeful when, and I think it's more a matter of when than if, when Jesse Chavez is removed, Pomeranz would take his place rather than Tommy Malone.
Gotcha. All right, so then let's do some over-unders. I had some for you, and the Twitter folk had some for you, so here we go. Victor Martinez, second half, over-under, 10.5 home runs.
That's so unfair because whenever we've brought that up recently, I think I've said, oh, 10 or 11.
Yeah.
So I got to pick a side. You know, I'll take the over.
I'll take the under, but it's like 10.
How about J.D. Martinez, 12.5 home runs rest of season? How many games do we have left? Like 65?
Yeah, 70-ish.
Okay.
You know, I kind of want to take the under there too. But I think it's a good over-under again. It's like barely taking the under.
Thanks, yeah, I feel more confident on this, so I'll take the under.
Are we buying it? He's, I think, the number one outfielder over the last month.
Yeah, I don't think he'll keep that up.
Well, I'm not saying that.
Yeah.
But he's been unbelievable.
It's a tricky question there, Adam. I think he's good. I think he's a starting caliber big league outfielder now with some ability to hit for average and power. I trust the power more than the average, but he hit for average throughout his minor league career, and he seems to be becoming more that type of player.
Yeah, probably somebody I should have thought of when you were asking about absolute must starts.
Oh, I said must owns. And he's like,
oh, well, must own then. Already. Definitely, yeah.
D. Gordon, over under, 250 batting average.
Over. That was pretty easy.
Yeah, very easy.
270.
I'll still take over.
Me too, but that's closer.
Justin Verlander, over under, 365 ERA.
Man. You and Twitter are doing a good job with this.
Yeah, these are mine.
Yeah, I'm going to... I'm kind of playing a hunch here because that's all we really have to go on with Verlander at this point. Saying under.
I'm going under too.
Madison Bumgarner, over under 330 ERA.
I'll take the under.
Me too.
He's been struggling lately. Steve Pierce, over under, top 30 outfielder.
Way under. Well, under meaning?
Like worse.
Worse.
Outside the top 30.
Yeah.
Scott A?
Yeah, I do take under, but... I wouldn't rule out like top 40, top 45. I don't know if that's way under. To me, it's not.
James Green on Twitter. Todd Frazier has a 30-30 season.
We got to. Now we. Okay, we're still over under. We're not going to buy sell.
Yeah.
definitely taking the under on the steals.
Right now, Todd Frazier is at 19 home runs and 14 steals.
I would probably take the over on the home runs for whatever that's worth.
Okay. Jeremy Werner, rest of season ERA and whip for Danny Duffy. 330 ERA, 1.14 whip. Oh, he's not getting that. Not the whip.
Well, that's why, because I was going to say, definitely not the ERA.
1.14 whip is like...
No, it's great.
Stud.
But he's improved his control, and he gets a lot of fly ball outs. It's. I'll take the over on both, but I think the whip is... I think he'll come close to that.
I think so.
I have these notes I put together over the weekend, and that seems so long ago, I didn't think to bring them in here. But in something like his last seven starts, he has a 0.99 whip, and ERA just above two. Been really good, but I agree. There still are some residual control problems there, and I would take the over on both. Maybe not by much, though.
Brian McFadden, over-under. Brian McCann, 9 home runs in the second half.
I'll say it's 10, so over.
I'll take 8.
He's hitting well now. Dewey Singleton, over-under the amount of time Azer curses out the Yankees' bullpen in the second half. You know, I got to be honest with you, that's the best part of their team. I'm not going to curse out their bullpen.
No, you will.
And at some point, it might just turn into...
All right, so we got about 70
apathy.
Games left. I'm going to say
the over-under to me is like 2.5.
It's pretty low. I agree. You'll just stop caring at some point.
Oh, number of times. I was actually – no, amount of time.
Yeah, yeah.
So and you said what?
Oh, amount of time. Yeah. That's a tough one then. Say number of times. I said 2.5. I think I'm taking the under. I'm not going to curse out their bullpen.
I'm taking 5 hours.
I'm going to curse out their hitters.
5 hours?
Yeah. 5 hours? All right, we got some more from Twitter. The real number 9, over under Robinson Cano, 17 homers. So that's full season, not rest of season.
Ah.
And what has he got, like 4 or 5? He's 5, I think.
Full season?
Yeah.
Cano,
like
Cano has more than 5. He has like 8 now,
does
right?
Does he?
I think so.
Sorry. I'm in the all-star break. He has 7.
Okay.
All right, so I'm sorry. 17
so
or 18,
rest of season, Robinson Cano, 10 more homers.
10 more homers. Oh, I'll take the over.
Me too.
Eric Ibar, over under 85 RBI.
Under.
Let's see where he's at right now. Eric Ibar, 85 RBI right now. He's at 50.
Hmm. I'll go ahead and take just the under, just barely.
Yeah. Okay, that's from Trevor Davis. Jim Cavaliero, J.J. Hardy, over under 15 home runs.
And this is whole season, right?
Sure. I think he has two now.
I mean, yeah, it's almost the same
three.
As the rest of the season
is
anyway.
Three.
Okay.
I will.
12 rest of the season.
Yeah, that's a good one. I'll take the under.
I will take the over.
Mike Levy, Michael Cabrera. Miguel Cabrera, over under 16.5 homers, second half.
Hmm.
It's a big second half.
That's a big.
Can he hit 17 home runs in 60-something games?
He can. I'll take the under. I think he gets 14 or 15.
Me too.
Matthew Petrick, top stolen base guy out of Altuve, Gordon, and Hamilton, reaches 70 steals. And who is it?
Oh, I'll buy that. Buy that both Hamilton and D. Gordon will. Maybe not Altuve. Don't want to surprise me if he did.
Yeah, I was going to say, actually, I'd pretty much buy it for all three, but if I'm picking the winner, I'll take Hamilton.
I don't think they're on 70 steal pace. It's probably right around there, right? Because they're in the low, you know, Gordon is 43, Altuve 41, Hamilton 38. So it's probably, like, close to a 70 steal pace.
Really? And then I thought
Hamilton had more.
Wrong?
Well, this is what Matthew said in his tweet. Let me check the actual stats instead of just taking our listeners' words for it.
I think that's a good idea.
Steals. How are you guys doing over there? Feeling good?
Pretty good.
Fine. It probably made this guy feel like crap, though.
Yeah.
Just double checking.
Plus, I'm just feeling
looks right to me.
A little awkward with the kind of the dead air here.
Okay.
But other than that, I'm doing great.
And guess what? He was right. 43 for Gordon, 41 for Altuve, 38 for Hamilton.
So click on the little pop-up and see what they're on pace for. We have the technology.
What, just on our website?
Yeah.
Yeah, cbssports.com.
Yeah. All right, well, let's do D. Gordon.
This is player stats.
Exciting stuff.
D. Gordon
is on pace. What are you saying, Adam?
I'm buying it for all of them, and I still think Hamilton gets the most.
Look, they're not on pace.
72 steals for Gordon.
72, and he's the highest of the three?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll... Yeah, I mean, it's not as easily as I was buying it before. I will buy it for Hamilton and Gordon, though. Not Altuve.
How about Kevin says Adam Azer over under 1.5 bad movie reviews rest of week. Fine. I've got a movie review for you.
Okay.
22 Jump Street.
Yeah.
I'm giving it a 87%. Really liked it. Very
out of
fun.
How many percent?
Out of 100.
Okay.
It was fun. It was funny. It was better than the first one, I thought.
Is this like Azer's Tomatoes or something?
Yeah, Azer's Tomatoes. So
the first one was acclaimed.
The first one was good.
I
Bryce
saw
Leisinger,
the first one.
I'm sorry.
It was pretty good.
Did you like the series, Al?
Actually, I didn't even watch the series.
Okay.
I know I'm notorious for not seeing movies, but didn't watch the series either.
The second one was funny because it openly acknowledged that it was a movie a lot and in a very clever way. So go check it out. Bryce Leisinger, Ryan Braun, 25 home runs.
I'm going to say, gosh, what is he at now?
Well, you're the one who always knows when I'm the one who's always wrong, Scott.
But I feel like he only has like a dozen, right?
He has 11.
Yeah, I've got to take the under there.
I do too. I'll admit.
Bust.
I thought he had 14.
Corey Kluber, over under 200 strikeouts.
Over.
Over.
Pretty confident he's on pace for well more than that.
All right, that's it. Let's go to the emails. FantasyBaseball@CBSI.com from Colin. He says, Dear Ottawa, Victoria, and Regina.
Well, if it's Regina, then it's Canadian.
Is that how you pronounce it?
Capitals.
Ah, okay. When you have a deep team with over 6 bench spots, does it make sense to stash skilled players at a position that you already have depth at, so that your opponents don't get to use them, or is it better to take risks on potential flyers and prospects?
Generally, I'd say no, but I have done that.
Wait, you say no to what? It's an either-or, Al. Does it make more sense if you have a deep team with over six bench spots to stash skilled players at positions you're already deep at, so your opponents don't get to use them? Or is it better to take risks on potential?
See, I was reading it that he was asking: is the first strategy hoarding skilled players? Is that better? So that's what I was saying.
Oh, okay.
Unless it's a situation where, like, it makes sense to have more pitching depth, which is often the case in a points league, so you can get more two-star pitchers. I just own the best players available.
Right.
And if I don't happen to need them, that can allow me to trade either them or whoever I'm starting ahead of them.
Here's Phil. My team is sorely lacking in the net stolen bases category in a 12-team head-to-head categories keeper league. Billy Hamilton, D. Gordon, and Jose Altuve are all locked up by other teams at good prices. There's an offer on the table where I could trade Josh Donaldson and Will Myers to receive Altuve. I'm worried that if I don't make a play for one of the high steal guys, I'll face the same stolen base deficiency next year. What do you think of this deal? Giving up Donaldson and Myers for Altuve in a keeper league.
I don't know. It seems like too much, especially in a keeper league where I think Will Myers has a lot of value. And if I were in this position, I think I'd be targeting, and it's a 12-team league, so you might even just be able to maybe grab somebody like Craig Gentry off of waivers, just go for a couple of lower profile steals guys.
Yeah. Steals is one of the easier categories to make up ground in, I feel like.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they're specialists. There's not really like an RBI specialist or...
Right. All right, Don in Cincinnati. Hey, D-Crime, D-Neon, and Digweed. Three Braves from the best SNES baseball video game.
All right, so D-Crime is obviously meant to represent Fred McGriff. D-Neon, obviously Deion Sanders.
Yeah.
Digweed.
No clue.
I'm the Braves fan here. I should get this.
Yeah, I don't know it either. That's, what is that, Ken Griffey Jr. baseball?
I know it had funny fake names.
Yeah.
Digweed. Maybe he just wants to hear us say it.
No, I'm looking
over
it up
and over
here.
Again.
Mike Stanton.
Oh, okay.
It says.
Really?
Yeah.
The reliever, not
reliever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, there is no hitter named Mike Stanton.
Not anymore.
Not anymore.
Here's the question from Don.
By the way, it's this probably isn't worth interrupting you for, but on Baseball Reference, when he was Mike Stanton, every time I looked up his name, I'd click on the reliever Mike Stanton because it would say All-Star underneath his name. And at that time, Giancarlo hadn't been an All-Star. And apparently Mike Stanton, the reliever, was at some point.
So you were happy about the name change.
I was, yeah.
You were the one. I took over a team mid-season in a Dynasty 20-team head-to-head categories league. The team needs to be rebuilt. Blah, blah, blah. All right, he has Garrett Cole, or, right? Chris Archer and Yordano Ventura, or maybe it's Garrett Richards. Garrett Richards, Archer, and Yordano Ventura. Should I thank my lucky stars? I have a few quality arms, or would it be better for me to leverage them to try and grab some young bats, as they tend to be safer and more predictable? So, yeah, basically he's got a dynasty league, 20 teams. He's got Garrett Richards, Chris Archer, Yordano Ventura. Would you try to turn those guys into hitters?
No, I mean, based on the information he's given us, I mean, if it was a thing where, you know, he was really lacking in hitters and he had, you know, a couple more stud pitchers and he had the depth, sure, but just you know, in the proverbial vacuum, I don't have any reason to really distrust any three of those pitchers.
Dave in St. Louis. Hello, Bob, Bruce, and Dizzy. I was offered a trade in my 12-team head-to-head points league where pitcher and hitter strikeouts are worth 1 point. The owner currently in first offered to send me Verlander for my Matt Adams. What do you think?
I think
he's got Michael Morse and Chris Davis as well at first base.
I think especially considering the point breakdown there, Adams really hurt. His value is really hurt in that format. When strikeouts count a point each, minus one each, and Verlander, we just said we think he's going to be better in the second half, and that means a strikeout per inning. So he's I think it's a good buy-low situation, particularly for the format.
Yep. Here's some grade of the trades. From Mark, I'd be trading Cano and Hamill for Howie Kendrick and Scherzer. Cano and Hamill for Kendrick and Scherzer.
That is a D+.
I'll go I'll be a little more generous and say C minus. I think it's pretty close to even, but I do value Cano more than Scherzer.
Chris, in the ICT. What is the ICT?
The ICT.
Oh, okay. Thanks, Al.
Sure.
Dear Jelly, Butter, and Peanut. That's interesting. 12-team head-to-head points league with deep rosters. I give Tyson Ross. I get Ian Kennedy.
That is a D+. I'm not sure what your incentive is for it. Kennedy might be a little underrated, but Tyson Ross is better.
And he's RP eligible.
Yeah, I'll give it C-. I'll be the generous one this time. Maybe the incentive is the Kennedy trade rumors. I don't know.
Maybe.
But I'd rather have Ross.
From Chuck in Leamington Spa, UK. 5x5 Roto League. I gave JD Martinez and got Jared Weaver. My pitching has not been the same without Jose Fernandez. Did I give up too much? I could have given up Chris Davis with a K instead. So he gave up JD Martinez and got Jared Weaver.
I think it's a good trade, whichever outfielder you go with. That's an interesting dilemma, Martinez and Davis. Davis has fallen off a bit, predictably. I do still have him ranked ahead of Martinez. I think I'd rather have Davis than Martinez, but it's one of those things. 2 weeks from now, my mind could change.
What's the trade?
Oh, the grade.
Giving up Martinez for Weaver.
I will give that a B+.
I'll give it a C+, and I'm trying to figure out what ICT is, and the closest I can come to so far. Oh, could be Wichita. I think it is Wichita. There you go.
Oh, it's an airport?
Yeah.
Gotcha.
So not the Islamabad capital territory,
probably
which is
not
what I was about to go with.
Al, you have relinquished. Did you give a grade?
C+.
Oh, you did. Okay, sorry. From Kyle, grade the trade, 12-team roto. I give Victor Martinez, Drew Hutchison, and Kevin Gausman. I get George Springer, Homer Bailey, and Doug Fister.
Well, the secondary and tertiary pieces in the get side are definitely greater than on the give side. Hutchison, Gausman, Bailey and Fister are not nearly as replaceable as Hutchison and Gausman. So it's just Martinez to Springer. Is that downgrade worth it? And I'm going to say in a 12-team roto league, which tend to be deeper than head-to-head, it is, if only by a little. I'll give it a B-.
C+. But exact same logic that this guy was using, just liking it less.
Goodbye, guys. Great show. Back tomorrow with Herc Love. See if I'll throw him back in the podcast league or keep him out. And
it's a joke, Adam. It's a joke.
It's not funny. You don't mess around with fantasy teams, man. We're in a playoff push.
Playoffs.
Exactly. I hope Chase Green throws a no-hitter next time. Shane Green. I put the wrong name in because I keep calling him Chase Green. I hope he throws a no-hitter next time just to throw it in their face. For Scott White, I'm Melky. I'm Adam Azer. See you later.